Father, pray now that your Spirit will reveal these things to us, that you would have us to see and understand in these passages, Father. It is impossible for us to understand Scripture. Mind of the flesh must be under the revealing ministry of your Spirit. We pray that now you will illuminate these things for us, Father, that we might see and understand our own lives and how to inherit the land as Christians who belong to the church. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now tonight we move into Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. And with this beginning, Paul mentions Abraham. And from chapter 3, verse 6, through chapter 4, verse 31, in other words, through all of chapter 4, Paul is going to do a lot of talking and go back and forth on some things. And what I want to do the first few minutes tonight, I think if we lay a foundation in understanding a lot of things that are going to be coming up so that you're able to see the flow will be much faster and much clearer. You won't have to, oh yeah, I see that. If we can head off some of these things right from the very beginning. Now, in verse 6 of chapter 3, Paul will begin with Abraham. This will move him in his discussion into two covenants. He is going to move into the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. We have discussed both of these often in our teaching. There are a multitude of covenants. There are seven major covenants, but these two are the great issue. Now, first of all, what is a covenant? Well, as you well know, we could get lost here and bogged down, but very simply, a covenant is an agreement between God and man as far as our study is concerned. Now, let's ask the question, why a covenant? What is a covenant and why do we even need a covenant? What is the covenant? All right, what we want to do, we want to get the blessings from God. We desire for God to act in our lives. For an example, we desire as unbelievers, what we have come to understand salvation one, our redemptive salvation, which involves the imputation of perfect righteousness so that we can be justified, so that we can have the life of God. So we desire these things. Secondly, we desire things as born-again believers. We've come to understand this as salvation too, because the word to be saved or salvation or deliverance is used of the born-again believer often in the epistles to the church. These are the things, the same type of things really that I have up here we want in our Christian life. We want to be restored from sin and some way come out of that. We want to have a righteous life. We want to be sanctified for sanctification as a born-again believer and have the spiritual life. We want to have spiritual love flow through us. We desire to be transformed into the very image of Christ. These are the things that we desire. Now, we come to the question, how can I get these things? How can I get from God these types of things that we've been talking about? Okay, there we now have two covenants. Now, these two covenants are going to seem to say you can try this way or you can try this way to get these things. But as we're going to find out, that isn't the case. But I want you to just begin with this. That's what seems like's going on. So these are the things that I desire. Now, you can get them, and I'm going to go by the order in which we have them given to us. You can go by the Abrahamic covenant. You can go by the Abrahamic covenant. So he's going to talk about Abraham. Or you can go to the Mosaic covenant and try to get them this way. So we have these two covenants that are now coming into being. And both covenants are from God. And both covenants are ratified in various ways that we'll be taking a look at. So you could try to go through either of these. Very important for us to understand is, here we are in what we call the church, but Paul is going to talk about the Abrahamic covenant on how you and I are to receive things even as born-again believers. What would I just jump to it? I want you to be able to see This is what we're going to see has been God's policy always, and it doesn't change as man likes to think that it does. So we have the first covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. This is a covenant that is you get all of these things by a promise. By a promise. I promise I'll give them to you. Or you can go to the Mosaic covenant and you can get these things by obeying the law. So you can take your pick, as it is what it appears to say. So if you want to try it this way, then you will have to do all the things that I want you to do. Now, what has happened is, let's just put a line here. Start right here, this line, and then we're going to draw up to here, and we'll put the cross right here. Now, this marks the point where the Abrahamic covenant came into being. The Abrahamic covenant came into being, and then 430 years later, let's just jump right here, 430 years later up to the cross, we have the Mosaic covenant came into being, the Mosaic law. Now, the Abrahamic covenant is going to go on beyond the cross. The Mosaic covenant is going to end right there, as we're going to see. And these are things that a lot of people that claim to really know the Bible and in churches and things, oh no, you got to live by the Mosaic law here. These are the things I want you to see what Paul is doing. But right now we're just laying down a groundwork. 430 years we have the giving of the Mosaic covenant. Now what happened was the people loved this one. Oh, how they loved it. Yes, I can do this. I can do this and I will do it. And they all flocked to this Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant. We can do it. We will do it. And of course they can't. And Joshua, interesting study and reading of Joshua, where he tells the people he will serve the Lord, and they said, we will serve the Lord. And he says, no, you won't. And it's a little, how can Joshua say, I'll serve the Lord, and then they say, we'll serve the Lord, and he says, no, you can't. Either it's very arrogant, or we need to see what's going on. When they said, we will serve the Lord, they meant, we'll do this, we'll do the covenant. What Joshua meant was the Abrahamic covenant, they meant the Mosaic covenant, and he actually built a stone altar for them to be a testimony against them that they could not keep the covenant. Now, these two covenants seem to be in competition. They seem to be in competition as you look through these things. And by that, what I mean is they seem to say you can receive all these good things from God. Primarily, when you think of the Abrahamic covenant, inheritance, land, we're going to talk about the land because it says that you and I are the recipients of the promise of Abraham. That includes the land. So I want your mind to start as we move into this section. Think about that. Do any of you think that you are, by the Abrahamic covenant, you have a plot of land over somewhere in Israel? I don't think so. None of us think that. But yet, this is for us. So, what's going on here? I want your mind to start thinking with me that way. But what they seem to be saying is, you can get it this way, or you can get it this way, you take your pick. Now, if that's the case, they are in competition. If this can give me righteousness and this can give me righteousness, then they're in competition. But they're not. And that's what Paul is going to point out very strongly. They are not in competition. God never intended for man to try to do the Mosaic covenant. He never intended that. Just never. Sometimes our kid, I think, when people are eating certain things, like you see people eating Brussels sprouts, I just have to laugh and say, you know, God's probably saying, look, they're eating that. Never intended for them to eat that stuff. They're eating it, actually. You know? And it's this way. They're trying to do the Mosaic. Can you, you know, in humanizing our Father for a moment, not being blasphemous, you know, look, they're trying to do the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Look at them. And they never intended for this to be, as we're going to see. Then, if that's the case, that God never intended this, then a question should start rolling into your mind. Then why in the world did he ever give this one anyway? If they seem to be competing, they seem to say, get it this way or get it this way, and yet he doesn't expect you to get it this way, doesn't intend for you to get it this way, why did he even give it? So we have to understand that aspect. Since God is going to give the land and give the righteousness and give all these good things by promise, why in the world did he set up a covenant where you could get it if you want to work for it? Why did he do that? So we want to find out why the law was even given. Why did he even give the law? That says he'll do it if you will do some things that he wants you to do. Why did God give it? Now, to help us flow through this section, what I've done is read through here, and what I'm going to give you, if you want to write it down, fine, if you don't, fine. On this side, we're going to put the Abrahamic covenant, and then over here, I'm going to put the Mosaic law, or the Mosaic covenant. And I want to give you some things to be thinking about and have in your mind as we go through this section, and it'll help you flow through them. These, just the things that I've told you. You're gonna, if you can, remember them and grasp or understand those things, this is gonna help us. First of all, the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional. Unconditional. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, God unconditionally will give the land. Will give the promise. Unconditionally. Conditional of the Mosaic law, you have to do your part. You have to do something over here, and then God will do something. We'll come to that in a moment. All I'm trying to do is help your mind to start thinking. The Abrahamic covenant is going to be referred to and given to us by the word promise. The Mosaic covenant is going to be under the word law. You get it by promise, or you can get it by law. You can get all those good things by promise, you can get all those good things by law. Alright, three. Under the Abrahamic covenant, all these things are received by faith. This is man's part. Faith. The promise received by faith. But the Mosaic covenant is you receive these things by obedience, by doing, by works. These are just some of the words that we'll find. Obedience, works, do for God. If you obey the law, then I'll give you those good things. If you work, I'll give you those things. If you do your part, then I'll do mine. So that's what's going on under that one. Four, even the ratification differs on these two. Four, this one is ratified by one party only. There's only one signee, only one party involved here. One party, that's God. I'll do it. Only one party signed the treaty. Nobody else signed this treaty or this contract, this covenant. Nobody else signed this covenant, only God. He's the only one responsible. So he's the only guy. However, the Mosaic covenant, you have two. You have God and man. You have God's part and man's part. Two parties involved. Five, under the Abrahamic covenant, I will just give it to you. It being the land, it being the blessings, whatever we want to talk about, we'll come to that, whatever's promised, I will just give it to you. That's all there is to it. The Mosaic one, if you do for me, then I will do for you. That's the Mosaic law. Six, they're even different in their mediatorship. They're different in their ratification. This one's ratified by only one party. This one involves two. They're different in their mediatorship. Under the Abrahamic covenant, the mediator is God. That's all that's needed. God. Mediator over here gets involved. Angels and Moses. Angels and Moses. Now, seven, just to keep your flow here, seven, this is the one, the Abrahamic covenant, that God intends for man to come to Him by. This is the one He gave with the idea for man to come to Him. God never intended. And that's important. And we'll see why. All of this will help you flow through chapter 3, verse 6 through chapter 4. God never intended for man to do it. But it's going to sound like He does. It's going to sound like it. Eight, under the Abrahamic covenant, you inherit the blessings. You inherit the land. You inherit all of the wonderful things. You inherit the spiritual things, righteousness, justification, life. But I want your mind to start thinking with me, the reason I've included this one, fullness of Christ. All of this is involved in the Abrahamic covenant. And it materially is going to come under this word of land, which has milk and honey. Milk and honey. Now, the Mosaic one, what are you going to get from it? You're going to get sins, fear, and death. This is what you get from the Mosaic Covenant. That's all you're going to get from it. The Mosaic Covenant is the covenant that was most known at the time of Jesus Christ. And they tried to live by it. They tried to earn from God by obeying. This is the covenant that I'm afraid that today, this is the covenant most Christians know, and people who claim to be Christians. Most Christians know the Mosaic Covenant. Most of them can give you some of the conditions of the covenant. They can tell you probably where it is found and the judgments if you don't do it, that type of thing. Most people can tell you a lot about the Mosaic Law, the Mosaic Covenant, the Mosaic Law. See? But very few can tell you about the Abrahamic Covenant, what are the conditions of it, where it's found, and this is the one that becomes the new covenant in the church. We're studying in our communion series. The Abrahamic covenant will become the new covenant. Most Christians can tell you law, tell you the conditions, where to find it, but cannot tell you about the Abrahamic covenant or the new covenant, where it's found, what are the conditions. Now let's get to our passage. The Galatian believers. The book of Galatians, people, and this is so important in following now what all that I've just said. The Galatians is written to believers. So what is being talked about applies to us. So we're going to have to keep asking why does Paul go back and compare these two? What's Paul's point? And he's talking about believers living the Christian life. He's not talking about getting saved so much as he is about how to live the Christian life. And he's going to go back and forth in this section, in these two covenants, talking about how you and I are to receive spiritual recovery from sin, all the blessings that you and I have in life. And what we're going to be noting is one of the primary things in the promise and the inheritance is going to be, as I said before, the land. And what I want you to start seeing is that little word, that's your key word, that you and I want to receive this spiritual land. This is where you and I want to get. We want to get to the spiritual land. If we looked at it this way, the inheritance that the children of Israel is looking for is the land. Okay, we come across the Red Sea. Here's the Red Sea. And here's the Jordan. Now, where we want to get is over here into the promised land. And we're going to find out that this land for you and for me really is Christ formed in you. This is where we really want to get. And I'll show you all this. I just want to talk with you. I'm not trying to defend any of these things. I'm talking with you so that when we start the flow, you'll be able to, all right, I see how we're doing this. So we go across the Red Sea. That's salvation one. But where I want to get here, I want to get over here to this promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of Christ, and Christ formed in you. This is the spiritual. This becomes so important. One of the reasons a lot of Christians aren't into all of this is because we think so much in the material world, what I have and what I don't have. But once you start making this journey, the material world drifts off into the shadows, and what really becomes important is the spiritual and the eternal. What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen in the next world? And all of these things are related to the eternal and the spiritual. So what we're going to look at is, how am I going to get this land? Now, it's going to come to us by promise as believers, and that's the whole point for going to the Abrahamic covenant, received by faith. And in order to do this, God is the only one involved. Remember, He does all the work. So He's going to send, and we'll see this in John chapter 14. This is really where it comes from. We have the two sendings of God. First of all, in Apostello, is right out of our study in John. God sent His Son, God sending the Holy Spirit. So God is going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to get us in this area of redemption. But that's not what the book of Galatians is about, people. The book of Galatians is about getting the land, getting Christ formed in you. And so for this, He's going to send the second sending by God, the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be a point of our faith, as we're going to see as we flow through this section of Scripture. Now, these are the things we want, a lot of ways of looking at it. We want a righteous life. How am I going to get it? We want spiritual love. We want minus sin in our life. We want Christ formed in us. Okay, all of these things come to the how. How am I going to get it? And what Paul is showing us, people, is you can go to one of two covenants. You can go to the Abrahamic covenant. It's still in effect for you. Or you can try to do it by the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic law. It's up to you. Whichever way you want to try is what it seems like it's going to say. But all of this is for us by the same covenant that Abraham had. So these are the things we're looking at. This section will end with something. It's a little warning. This whole section will end with a warning. That if you decide that you're going to try and give it a shot and have the courage to receive all of these things, the righteous life, spiritual love, everything from God based on the promise by faith, one thing you need to be aware of, you will be attacked, you will be hated by those who want to do it by law. They will attack. They cannot stand that you say, no, you don't have to work. Just sit down at home, watch TV, eat chocolate candy, and God will give it all to you. No, no, no. You've got to get out, and you've got to work, and you've got to obey, and therefore they are constantly attacking those who want to do it by the Abrahamic covenant. This is the way this section is going to end. So, are there any questions from these two covenants? Anything that just right at the beginning you want a little more clear? Okay, let's then get kicking and take a look at this passage then. Let's see what we got. We're at Galatians 3, and we're at verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, and we left off at verse 5. I'm not even going to touch it. We've finished that. Let's move right in now to our discussion about Abraham. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham received justification and righteousness the same way we do, people. That's why Paul is using this. We are no different. Thousands of years ago was Abraham. Let's just circle for 2000 BC. So that's approximately 4,000 years ago, and it's still the same, and that is by faith. Once again, we have something unexpected here. Why does Paul go back to Abraham? Why does he go back to the righteousness of Abraham? We have to ask ourselves, why does he do that? Notice the phrase, even so, even as. people, Paul goes back to Abraham, not to Moses, but he goes back to Abraham for the pattern of our salvation one and salvation two. That has always been God's way. And the reason that he does this is because Abraham, now watch this, Abraham is a Gentile just like the Galatians. Make sense? I'm going to go back. You want to know how to do this? I'm going to start with a well-known Gentile. I'm going to show you how this Gentile, right here, just like you, received righteousness. There was no law when Abraham got all this stuff. How did he get it? He's like me. See, that's what you and I would say. Hey, wait a minute. He's a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. How'd he get it? Maybe that's the way I can get it. So that's why, he goes back. Abraham received the imputation of righteousness by faith. And he received righteousness as a believer by faith. And we're going to do it the same way. This is why he goes back to Abraham. Because Abraham is a Gentile just like them, without the law, there is no law, yet he receives imputation of righteousness for salvation one and righteous life, and he did it all without the law. Well, that's something I want to look at, because that's where I am. So that's why he goes back to Abraham. Faith has always been the issue in the spiritual warfare with God. It's that simple. Somebody comes along and wants to talk to you about, oh no, you got to do the law. Time out. Time out. How was Abraham saved? Oh, well, yeah, but that was a long time ago. Time out. Scripture says that's the way I'm to do it. That's why he comes up in the book of Galatians. It's the way he did it. It's the way I'm going to do it. So, you know, what's going on here is very important. And what's going on is that this is the way. This is the truth of the gospel. Just trust me. And that's what Abraham did. Trust me. Abraham just trusted me and I gave it to him. You want righteousness? Now we're going to start our journey tonight. You want righteousness? I want righteousness as a state of existence before God, and I want a righteous life. You got one of two ways. Let me show you the one of two ways. Let's look, first of all, turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Okay, Genesis chapter 15, and eventually we'll be reading a lot of these things, right now we're just on a quick little journey. But verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord. Now that is the gospel. When it says the word of the Lord here, that's the gospel. This is the good news. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abraham said, O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? That's the first mistake. If you remember when we studied back in our study of Isaac, this was his first mistake, first failure, was trying to find it in the household. And Abram said, since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, that must be the way you meant it. Then behold, the word of the Lord, the gospel, came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who shall come from your own loin, your own body. He shall be your heir. Now, get with me. He's not talking about Isaac. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Just start your thinking with me. Yes, Isaac must come first. But this is not a promise about Isaac. This is about Jesus Christ. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, you know, you can just imagine Abraham said, there's a bunch, something like that, looking up there. Okay? He said, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Okay. How did he get it? Promised by God. Received by faith. Okay. Let's try the other way. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Look at verse 24. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. So, the Lord commanded us to observe all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. I like the way the NIV reads this. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive as is the case today. Verse 25 in the New American. And it will be righteousness for us. Aha! I knew we could get righteousness if we obeyed. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. NIV. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Okay. Sounds like you can get it from the Abrahamic way or the Mosaic Law, unless you read it carefully. First of all, you got to do all of it. So if you want to get righteousness this way, you got to keep the whole law. That means you got to know the whole law first. And then that means you got to keep the whole law. And don't forget one part. Oh, forgot that. Or that slipped in. No, you got to keep the whole law. But look what it says. It will be our righteousness. Not a righteousness given to us. This will be a righteousness we earn. It will be our righteousness. Now I could take this and go to some New Testament verses to show you all of this, but you'll just have to flow with it right here. Our righteousness. So here we have one of two ways. You can get it by simply trusting in and taking it by promise. Or you can try to get it by working hard and get your own righteousness, which is human righteousness, which doesn't merit before God. It is filthy rags before God. Okay? Right? How did Abraham get it? Simply by taking this promise and receiving it by faith. I trust you, God. I trust you. God says, good. Boom. Righteousness. Okay, now turn with me to Romans 4. Let's take a little journey there. People, as I told you when we finish this, I hope you're able to pick up Galatians and read it anywhere and just say, yeah, I understand this. But also it'll help you to pick up the Bible and open the Bible to anywhere. Romans, Hebrews, the difficult passages that some people have difficulty with, some even preachers don't even really understand. And if you do this, you're going to be able to go right through. Yeah, I understand. I see what's going on. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 4 and take a little trip here very quickly. Here. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, in other words, that righteousness, that justification by works, by his obeying, He has something to boast about. He can boast. But not before God. Okay, just watch me. This is my righteousness! But let's compare that with the perfect righteousness of God. It doesn't add up. this doesn't even begin to give you the idea, but, you know, you take a little picture a child paints that parents put on their refrigerator, and you take that over to a Michelangelo and say, hey, look what I've drawn. Look at my Mona Lisa. It doesn't compare. This is yours. This is mine. You didn't get my righteousness. You got your righteousness. Now, you want my righteousness? This is the way you're going to get it. You want your righteousness? This is the way you're going to get it. And what can I now boast about? My righteousness. I can boast. I did it. I kept the law. I kept my list. The worst thing that can happen is keep your list. And people, this is the great battle in the spiritual warfare. In that war between God and Satan that we've been studying. Who's sufficient to be God? Satan said, I will be like God. Okay? Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? In other words, he didn't get it by works. What does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it, righteousness, was reckoned to him, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. People, if you work for things before God, it isn't grace. I did this. I obeyed. I worked. You owe me. And this is the way a lot of people think about God. And then when horrible things happen to them, i.e. Job, what happens? You become angry at God. You have your list that is going to make you right before God. And then things don't work out and God isn't keeping his end of the bargain. Wait a minute. If I do this, you do that. I've kept my end. You're not keeping your end. My marriage is falling apart. My health's falling apart. My finances are falling apart. Whatever it is. So, God, you're all wrong here. You're all out of line. This is why a lot of people get upset with God. Because they try to get to God under the Mosaic Covenant. Rather than just simply by promise. That's why you become very angry, upset with God. Okay? Verse 4. Now, the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as grace, but as what is due him. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Now, note the important phrase because it's going to build all the way through this section. Does not work. Can I really think that God is just going to give me a righteous life if all I do is trust him? Yes. No, you got to work. And they become very angry when you won't work. Oh, no, you got to do this. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And then you got to do that. And it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier what they put on us to do. It starts off with a little thing, but then by the time you get down, they're running your whole life. Your marriage, your sex life, your finances, your social life, every part of your being. You're under now their control. This gets worse and worse. Or you sit at home, watch TV, and get it. Oh, that makes them so mad. And we got some things to look at in that respect. Verse 6. So that's Abraham. Just as David. We can go to David. Oh, boy, not David. Man, the guy couldn't control his sex life. The guy couldn't do anything right. And he kept wanting to take the census of the people. Everything wrong? Not before God. And, oh man, the whole proof of a wonderful Christian is what? Oh, family life today. Now, I'm going to sound like I'm against family life. I know what my critics will do, but I can't worry about them anymore. Oh, it's how you have a family. To use a modern word, tell me who had the most dysfunctional family in the Bible. It's David. His sons were killing each other, trying to kill him. They went to war against each other. They were raping each other. I mean, this thing was a mess. And here's a guy after God's own heart. Why? Because when push came to shove, he trusted God. I trust you. Look at these people that found it and got it, people. It's important. Just as David also, along with Abraham, also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons or imputes righteousness apart from works. David got it. Now, it took David a little journey to get there, but he finally saw it. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. It takes somebody like David to be able to write that. He knew his lawless deeds, but people living by the law think they're pretty good. But David knew. And whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Will not take into account. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised, the Jew with the law, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Just how then was it reckoned? Well, he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Before law or after law? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Abraham didn't even have the law, didn't even know about that rather gruesome thing to think about. That's going to come much later, and yet he's righteous. Again, I want to emphasize, why is Paul talking about these things to us? This is the pattern for us. Don't be charmed away, oh, Old Testament's entirely different from you. Go to Scripture. This is what Paul is saying to us. This is how we're going to do it. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believed while without being circumcised. Okay, that's you, by the way. That's all Gentiles, church age, age of Israel, all the time, all the way through the millennium. Anybody who comes along that's never been circumcised, meaning not a Jew, that will just come to God and say, I trust you, boom, you're right in line with Abraham. That righteousness might be reckoned to him. But not only that, by faith, and the father of the circumcision, to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. What's he saying here? This is the pattern for a Jew. It's a peasant matter. Received by faith. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be an heir of the world. Now, you're a descendant of Abraham. Anyone who's done faith, Abraham. That he would be an heir of the world was not through the law, because the law wasn't even there, but through the righteousness of faith. I hope this is so clear to you now. This shouldn't read hard, difficult to read. For if those who are of the law are heirs, okay, somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, I'm of the law and I'm an heir. Faith is made void. And the promise is nullified. People, one thing you're going to have to see, don't try to mix these two covenants. It's either by promise or by law. It's either by faith or obedience. It's not a little of both. And we'll come to that. We're going to come to try to mix them up. Can't do it, but we'll see that later. But just right now, take my word for it. You can't mix them up. It's either this or this. Law, then it's not by faith. If it's by faith, it's not by law. Okay? It's not by works. It's not by doing. Okay. Now, continuing our reading, I can remember where verse I left off on. 13. For the promise of Abraham, or to his descendants that the world, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. Okay? First came this, remember, and in 430 years came this. If this is the way it's going to be, then this no longer is in operation. But what the point is, this is still in operation. This doesn't negate it. Verse 15. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression, the transgression of the law. Verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, that it might be in accordance with grace. People, don't be charmed away from this. The only thing that is compatible with grace is faith. Not any works. Not confession. Not repentance. Not the sacraments of the church. Not being good. Not feeling sorry. Nothing man does. Don't be ever charmed away from this. The only thing that is compatible with grace is, I trust you. Good, I give it to you. The only thing compatible. This is so clear in Scripture. And yet people manipulate it. talk, twist, turn, and charm us right out of faith. Right out of just taking it, and we're over there working for what's already ours. There is nothing more ridiculous than that. Working for what's already yours. Freely given to you. Okay. Verse 16. For this reason, it is faith that it might be in accordance with grace. In order that the promise, notice all these beautiful words together, faith and grace and promise. In order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Powerful phrase. But he gives life to the dead. This makes you dead, the law. The promise gives you life. All right, verse 18. In hope against hope, he believed in order. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. He believed, there's the hope, and he believed in order that he might be his father. People, let me just jump to you in my life. You and I want to walk by faith. We want to walk by faith, trusting the Holy Spirit that we might have a righteous life, spiritual love, Christ formed in us, all these things. He believed that he might have, you and I, same principle, you and I, walk by faith in the Holy Spirit that I might have these things. Not by anything that I do, but by just trusting him because he promised all of these things to me. And he will give them to me if I just trust him. Now, verse 19. And without becoming weak in faith. Oh, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham ever become weak? Yeah. Hagar. Trying to push off one of his own members of the family by one of his servants. That's failure. An adulteress, the whole adulteress fair. But look what it says here. Without weakening in faith. See, man who wants to live by the law is going to remember his sin and weakening. What happened? I love our God, people. Note what God's account is. Here's the way God sees it. Without weakening his faith. Wow. See, when you live by law, you can tell when people live by law and when they live by grace. Those who live by law, they'll never forget. And it'll always be brought up. But here it just says, I love this phrase in the Bible. It coming in. Without becoming weak in faith. This is just beautiful. This is God. This is the way God remembers it. You talk to a person of the law, they're going to remember it another way. Talk to God, this is the way he's going to do it. Without becoming weak in his faith. This is our God. Verse 20, or let's continue verse 19. Weak in his faith, contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Let me just put it this way to you. If this is the way God wants to remember Abraham, good enough for me. I'll forget all of it. Because this is the way God remembers it. Did not waver in unbelief. Now, if you want to do a law, the first thing you want to do when you get to heaven is talk to God, how he could say Abraham did not waver, and you, God, have your talk about law. But there's going to be a lot of us who just want to go on with the grace and have a good party up there. You take your pick. This to me is one of the most beautiful things going on in our relationship with God, is verse 19 and 20. So, in the way that God recalls is verse 20. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is powerful. Because what God's looking at, people, is we get hung up. We get hung up on the sin issue here. What God is looking at is this whole issue of, did you trust me? When you sin, this is why God loved David. David was always stumbling. But David always came back. David stopped going to the law and just started coming back to God. David stopped doing the sacrifices, stopped doing all of the law, all the things required. He just kept on going back to God now. And God said, I love that. That's what I love. Just come back to me. Trust me. Okay. So let's, verse 21. And being fully assured that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Verse 22. Therefore, also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, this is not redemption. This is sanctification. This is how he got righteousness as a believer. He got it as an unbeliever. He got imputation of righteousness by faith. As a believer, he lived by that faith and had righteousness, a righteous life, righteousness given to him at that point. 23. And now, not for this, for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, Gentiles in the church age, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. It's all done. I promise it to you. Just trust me. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, salvation 1, that's the imputation of righteousness by faith, the point of redemption. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, and we're never going to leave that. To which we stand. There's that stand again that we studied in Galatians. You stand in how you got there, the gospel. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now back to Galatians chapter 3. I know that was a long journey, but I hope you see how important it is just to see what's going on with Abraham and with us. All right? Verse 7 of Galatians 3, therefore, be sure that you, this is be sure, and we want to be sure that you know this, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Boom. Just a blatant statement laid out there. Therefore, be sure that you understand this, that it is those in all periods of history who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. People, someone comes along and tell you, you have to do something other than just trust, and I don't care if it's something as simple as invite Christ into your heart or something as complex as the sacraments of the church, or being good, or obeying, or on and on and on. You can just say, time out. That's not the way Abraham did it. That's not the way I'm going to do it. God promised it to me. I'm going to take it that way. I'm just going to trust him. How did Abraham get it? That's the way I want to get it. How did Abraham get it? Look at Isaiah 51 with me. Don't worry, we won't read the whole chapter. But look with me at Isaiah 51. Okay, Isaiah 51. All we want to do is look at two verses. First two verses. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Okay, you want a righteous life. How am I going to get a righteous life? Do I pursue righteousness? How am I going to do that? Who seek the Lord. Who seek Christ formed in you. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and cut, came from, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Look to Abraham. You want to pursue righteousness? How did Abraham do it? People, did Abraham pursue a righteous life by law? No. Then neither are we. How did he get it? By faith, trusting God, trusting, taking it by promise. That's the way I want it. That's the way we're going to get it. Now let's go back to Galatians 3, just for a moment. Go back to Galatians 3. Therefore, be sure that you know, verse 7, that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. That's where we were cut. That's where we came from. Let's do it his way. Look at verse 26 in chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Works? No. Faith? Yes. Just by simply trusting Him. Next time someone comes to you and says whatever their do and do list is, whatever it is they say you have to do to be saved or to be spiritual, to maintain it, take them to Abraham. He did it without law, without doing. And they might say, oh, well, now this is a church age and it's all different and now you have to do it and things change. No, the Mosaic law doesn't nullify the Abrahamic one. I'll take the Abrahamic one. You, my friend, you can take the Mosaic law if that's the way you want to go. Personally, I'm just going to take it by promise. You can look at it this way. There's the Red Sea, and all this water up here, and all this water raging here. If you wish, you can swim across. Me, I'm just going to walk right here, in between. Picture the cross. In between here, I'm going to walk across, take it by promise. If you want to work, knock yourself out. I got news for you. You're not going to make it. And maybe when you bashed around everything and find yourself back over here, and it hadn't been flooded over yet, you're going to come over here and walk with us. There's always going to be those who say, oh, no, no, I'm going to swim for the Lord. I'm going to be mighty one. I'm a mighty soldier. I'm John Wayne. I'm going to swim across the raging river for the Lord. None of that little weak stuff, little sister stuff walking in there. Let the women and children walk there. Us real men, us John Wayne Christians, we're going to swim. No, not me. I'm just going to take a walk right here with all the ladies. See, you can go over here with all the men. I'll just walk here. I'm going to walk across. Take your pick, people. You can do it by law. Try to do it by law. You can do it by faith. It doesn't change even though we have been saved. Let's look at verse 8. It's not very much. And the script, we can make time now. If you have what I did at the beginning, things should be able to flow. At any verse that doesn't, I want you to let me know, either raise your hand or let me know afterward. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Wow! The gospel's not just ours, it goes all the way back. Even before Abraham, but to Abraham. The gospel to Abraham saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Now, let's first of all ask the question, before what? The gospel before Abraham, beforehand to Abraham, before what? That's before the law. Before the Jews. Before any of this complicated stuff came along, God had it all worked out. And again, the gospel, what is the truth of the gospel? It's the same for the Gentiles, same for the Jews, same for circumcised, same for uncircumcised, same for women as men, same for all races, all economic conditions of man, sex, race, whatever it is, it's the same. The truth of the gospel. I will do it. Promise. Trust me. Just get it by promise. You take it by promise, here it is. I'll give it to you. Trust me. Just walk by faith, and I will give it to you. This was given to Abraham, and it's given to everyone after Abraham that'll just come along and take it. The same. So the gospel tells us how he received justification and righteousness, how we're going to see it. People, all of this really goes, again, to our view of God. Someone comes up to you and says, well, yeah, that was okay for Abraham, but now it's all different. Oh, well then, that's your view of God. He changed. Over here, he's just going to give it away. He's going to give it away. But he was started running short, so he decided to start making people work for it. That's your view of God? Over here, just giving it away. Hey, anybody want this? Come get it. Just trust me. But over here, now you're going to work for it. I'm running a little short, and I'm raising the price. No longer free. Show me that in Scripture. These people that always got the law and got their list of dues, and they go to Scripture and they try to manipulate what the Scripture is saying, like the one we saw in Deuteronomy, you get a righteousness by the law, but it's not the righteousness God wants. Let's find out what Scripture is saying. So, this does not change. Either side of the cross, it doesn't matter. It's the same. God remains the same. It's the truth of the gospel. The truth of the view of God. What's your view of God? Someone tells you about law, that's their view of God. Oh, justification as an unbelieving Gentile, Jew, the same way, Old Testament, New Testament, it's by faith. Nothing required of man. Nothing changes that, people, because nothing is going to change God. Nothing is going to change Him, one way or the other. All nations, Israel, Jews, all Gentiles, all are blessed through Jesus Christ. That's what He's saying in that respect. Verse 9, conclusion of the point. Conclusion of the point. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. So how did Abraham receive the blessing? Same way we're going to receive the blessing, simply by faith. Blessed with Abraham. This means we receive, it was coming up now, the promise that was given to Abraham. We receive the blessing of Abraham, and we receive it by faith. Now, beginning in verse 10, Paul is going to move to the problem of the church. He's going to move to law. But let's just see how tonight has see if it's flowed, the flow has been there. All right, let's start at verse 6. And just read to verse 9, and then we'll close. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, in conclusion, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Now look what we have coming tomorrow night into this beautiful scene, this beautiful thing we've been talking about. But as many who are of the works of the law. Boom. That's why I gave you the introduction, because he's going to go from Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, to the Mosaic covenant, to law. And unless we have a feel of what's going on, might be a little heavy, but this should just flow for us and pick up some momentum again tomorrow night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Remember, if you got any questions or any clarification, let me know. Because if you do, others do. Okay. Father, how grateful we are that you're the God that you are. All the heathenistic gods, all the pagan gods, all the false gods, who are under the leadership of Satan, demand work. It sounds so right from the tree of knowledge to work, to earn what we get and get what we earn. But that's just not you. With you, we get exactly what we do not deserve. Righteousness, life, love. The land. What a God you are. Sometimes, Father, the flesh just doesn't want to sit down and enjoy. It wants to get out and earn and work. And therefore, Paul has told us this is the battle. Faith. Trust in you. Father, it's our purpose as we walk in this battle to walk by faith. To take possession of the land. That Christ might be formed in us, in this body. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.